Hello, and happy welcome to Radically Regulated, our second episode in English. And I'm really glad you're here today. So, before we really dive into today's topic, I wanted to do some housekeeping because I realized I didn't do that in the first episode. So, if you've been following me, you have noticed there is no jingle at the beginning. And there is no jingle at the end. So, what I've decided to do, and something I will follow through with, is I've decided to start focusing more and more on things that really matter, that really make the difference. And that does not come from me sitting and editing a podcast for an hour because it needs a jingle. So I decided not to do one. I don't like it. It wastes my time. It lowers my energy. We are rolling without music because really it doesn't matter. And I'm so much more into putting some deep inside and thought provocation in here, then I'm trying to make this perfect. All right. So, this is at the same time a perfect invitation for you to do the same, to, just skim through your calendar and be like, okay, where am I still trying to be perfect? Where am I still trying to do things people told me I should be doing because that might sell better, because that might be more customer friendly. And you're just like sitting there wasting your energy doing shit you hate. So, just an invitation. 'Cause you can cut that like in a second, like right at this moment. You can decide not to do it anymore. So that was short but important housekeeping. And also, as I said last week, I will have a fresh episode waiting for you every Friday and also a beautiful Substack article every Monday. So those are both formats when you will hear me describe and dive into things a little bit deeper. And if you're into some inspirational shorter juice, please find me on Instagram. I will put my account into the show notes as well. All right. So, the thing I really want to talk about today is something that really makes me want to go, like, girl, hold my hair because I'm going to throw up right now. And that might sound weird, but the thing that I really That really sets me off is when I see people talk about trauma as if it were something that does not relate to them. So what I mean by that is whenever I read articles, sometimes even books, whenever I see some reels on Instagram, there is this narrative of the trauma survivals and me and myself. The trauma survivals experience world as blah, blah, blah. Or if you're German and you're here, you will hear die Betroffenen von Trauma. And really, that makes me want to like scream and round in circles. Run in circles. And the reason that is, it because it actually does create or recreate the trauma dynamics in a sense of the division. So here is you, the poor you trauma victim, and here is me, the healer. Which is another thing that makes me want to throw up, but I'm not going to talk about it today. So here's me and there is you, and I'm here to heal you and your trauma survival, and this is why blah blah. So the reason why I truly hate that is because it implies that trauma is something very unusual. It is something that happens to some people, and it is something that other people don't experience. So I thought that might be a wonderful topic to actually take with me for today's episode, since we're kind of restarting this podcast, and tell you what it is that trauma actually is. So I will use a very, very simple definition. And this is not my definition. This is something I've learned from one of my mentors, from Irene Lyon. And her definition, and now my definition as well, is that trauma is nothing else but stored survival stress. Okay, you can write it down. If you're this kind of people who really loves to listen to great input and take notes because then you can remember things better, this is definitely one of the things you want to write down. Trauma means equals stored survival stress. It is not the event. It is not the car accident. It is not being hit by a car. It is not being chased across the street and stabbed with a knife or whatever you want to call it, or whatever should have happened to a person who has trauma. So trauma just means there is a certain type of energy that your body is still holding on to. It's like keeping it inside. It's like, it's mine. I cannot move this. I cannot get rid of it. You're storing it. And the only reason that a person will store stress is because it was not safe to release it the moment the situation was happening. Okay, so trauma is directly paired to not feeling safe. And when we talk about stored survival stress, when we talk about trauma, we very often still think about war crimes, soldiers, people being blown into the air, and all of those really, really, really big stuff. Yes, this is definitely one of the trauma types, if we want to categorize right now. This is what we would call shock trauma. And I remember when I was studying all of this, there was this beautiful video of Peter Levine, who is founder of somatic experiencing, which is one of the modalities to work with that stored survival stress. He was working with a soldier who really was blown into the air. So what happens with the system is that when such shock happens, is the system stops the activation, the survival response, while it is happening. It goes into freeze, into shutdown. It's like all of a sudden the reaction stops. But it doesn't stop because the energy rode over the peak and all the way down and got integrated. It stops because it was too much. Too soon at the same time and not safe. So, yes, in those shock situations, you can have people with stored survival stress, and you can work with that to integrate that energy because otherwise it's just looping in your system. Because what we will do as humans is we replicate the things that happen to us because we have one wish for the situation to be over. So if you're looping in activation all the time, it's not because you want to. It's because there is a desire for the situation to finally be over. Because your nervous system, when it got caught in the middle of a reaction, doesn't know that today is the 8th of July and the situation that happened 20 years ago is over. It's like still trying to finalize it, so to say. So if you're someone who has stored a lot of activation, sympathetic energy. This is how we call that sympathetic energy, that fight flight response. I'm sure you've heard about already. You will be someone who has the tendency to get inflammation in your body. You will be someone who tends not to sleep through the night. You'll be someone who tends not to fall asleep very well, or like wakes up at 10 and ruminates about a no that you said 6 hours ago. You will be someone who tends to get anxiety attacks. All of that because it's just too much energy that is looping in your system. All right. I told you I don't like when people have this you with trauma and we without it dynamics. And then I tell you about soldiers and shock. So, yes, in that case, there are people who have had certain events that happened to them in life that led to having stored that shock energy. But there is also a huge and very underrated, very, very underrated type of trauma. And I believe there is barely anyone, because I cannot know. I can never know 100%. I don't know everything. I'm not perfect. But this is why I'm going to say barely anyone in a Western civilization who wouldn't have stored survival stress from that type of trauma, which is early developmental trauma and preperinatal trauma. And so that means with early developmental especially, is that it was never safe to be you. It was never safe to express yourself. And you can check that really quickly. If you're someone who can only have a dance party when you're alone at home, when your spouse is not watching, when you're in a car and windows are closed. Yeah, we were just talking about it in one of my programs. This is why I'm having this example in my head right now. If you're saying yes, even though you kind of mean no, and then you say no, but you have bad conscience about it, and all of that shit, like all of that people pleasing, all of that. I don't even know who I am if I allowed myself the true expression. It is probably the reason why. And because early developmental and preperinatal especially, which is another very unique and special category I find, if something was always there, if something was always there in your system, and always, I mean, before the time you could consciously understand it, if it was always there, how would you know? If it was always there, how would you know? Because this is the tricky part. I want you to imagine being in a womb and marinating in the energy of, oh my God, I don't know what my mom's gonna say that I'm pregnant again with this baby. Oh, I'm so angry at her because she doesn't support me. She doesn't, she always looks at what other people say. And I'm the baby inside this womb. And this is how I'm being received and welcomed, aka not welcomed, into this world. I am marinating in the energy of anger, of fear, of uncertainty. And what a tiny human being does, and this is, by the way, part of my perinatal experience, this is why I'm sharing this. What a tiny human does is you cannot discern, oh, this is just my mommy having her own trauma reaction, feeling uncertain, feeling scared of judgment of my grandma. It doesn't have to do anything about me. With it doesn't have to do anything about me. It's not about me per se. I cannot do that as a tiny human being. As a tiny human being, I take this marinade and I automatically think this is me. I cannot discern myself from a marinade. And I can promise you, the moment I discovered me coming into a room, me coming into this world, was always paired with someone being angry at me. It was not my mom being angry at me, but I didn't have the ability to discern that before. The moment I discovered that was the first time I could be free and welcome myself into this world. And be welcomed as well, because it happened in one of the most beautiful workshops, healing workshop I ever taken part in. Can you see where I'm coming from? I didn't even know I had that feeling. But until you come into a healing field of loving presence and people bringing that intention into the room, you cannot know because it was always there. So before I was even born, I already had this experience that my presence makes people angry, makes people scared. How the fuck do you show up as yourself? Like, this is me being a sand-sized person. Or maybe I don't know, like very tiny. And after that, if you think of the tapes we used to have to listen to music, and you could like press this one button and just go forward, right? So if you press that button and looked at my life, what then happens? You're like 3 years old. You go to kindergarten, to daycare. What people did like 40 years ago is they didn't care if the kids are attached to the daycare person. They just like brought their kids and said bye. So it's a losing the only person, not having a feeling of time, because little kids cannot discern that as well. You don't know. If mommy's gone, it feels like mommy died. Mommy's forever gone. Right? And that's terrifying. So on top of that prenatal experience, you have this daycare experience of having fear your mommy died and you never know who's going to pick you up and you land at some weird place. Right? That's also terrifying. So what a nervous system does is it always adapts to the environment. It does that already in the womb, as I just gave you the example. So that means we start masking very early, and that means we start to adapt and adjust very early. So if you think of me going to daycare being 3 years old, and Dan also being maybe 5, 6 years old, and being misattuned to. And you know that when your partner, when you're like feeling really down, and you actually just need a hug and someone to tell you, I'm really sorry this is happening to you. I'm here if you need anything. If your spouse, your friend, your girlfriend, whoever, your in-laws, tell you, oh, it's not of a big deal. Look at it that way. You could go blah blah blah. When they get all cognitive, when you're emotional, it feels shit, right? Because it's misattuned. It's not what you need. So imagine being a tiny person and being misattuned to all the time, which is almost always the case because so many of our parents were misattuned to as well, and we don't know how to listen. We only wait until people start talking so we can respond, but we're not really listening. So We have those three things I just mentioned, right? My pre-perinatal experience, me going to daycare, me feeling misattuned to. And I remembered this one situation. And I think I was 5, 6 years old. And I remember exactly where I was standing in my room. And I've had that fear in my mind always, like, oh my God, we live on this earth, on this planet, and it's just this weird round things I can't fully grasp and understand. And it was so terrifying to me to think that we live on the planet Earth in the middle of the universe, and I only had this one thought: we could all die in a second. And I remember standing in my room and having that thought. And then I kind of like moved my head and brushed it off. I was like, oh, don't think about it. Don't think about it. Because it was so terrifying to me. And do you know what the traumatic part about this is? That it didn't even occur to me to go to my mommy, that I just had this terrifying thought. It didn't occur to me she would be interested. It didn't occur to me she could understand me. Can you see that? I'm 5, 6 years old, and I already think my mom doesn't care, doesn't understand, doesn't get me. So if this is you 40, 50 years later, 30 years later, choose your number, doesn't matter. And have this feeling of like, people really don't get me. Like they're there and I feel lonely. Those are very early imprints that you cannot meditate, biohack, or journal yourself out of. Because all of those experiencing I just shared with you, and those are just examples, right? I could talk about those things forever, but those examples show you that this kind of trauma, and it is traumatic because I'm stressed, I'm scared, I'm shoving it down, I'm alone with it. They always happen in a relationship. And this is very important for you to understand and hear now. If a wound happened in a relationship, you cannot heal it in isolation. You cannot heal it in isolation. You would never go to a baby or to a 5-year-old me and tell her, now go sit down, meditate for 10 minutes. So the fear you've just experienced of dying because of the planet Earth being hit by whatever, so meditate yourself out of it, then you will feel safe. No, you would go to a child, you would offer your loving attuned presence, your shoulder to cry on, or whatever it is. Right? But when we are working with this type of trauma, and this is the type of trauma I do truly believe almost everybody carries inside of them, especially in our Western civilized world. I'm not sure it's civilized, but I'm just going to use that word. So when I tell people, you with trauma and me without, what I always feel is that the person teaching about trauma doesn't know what she's or her, he is talking about. Because that is not a narrative you want to create. I am sitting in the same boat as you. I promise you, I've been through a lot of shit, and I know you've been too. This is why you've done all of the work there is out there, right? Personal development stuff, all of that. Nobody does that who's already securely attached and super happy and super fulfilled. Those people are also not on social media because what we do on social media is we seek connection because we have wounds that happened in a relationship and we try to heal them. Right? So only to show you how to work with that. Very shortly, is I want you to imagine life being very linear. And this is now how this work works, but we kind of need a model to work with. I want you to imagine Line zero or point zero, this is you being born, and there is a time before, and then there is a time after. And so when we want to work with this kind of trauma, which is everywhere, all right, let's generalize. What we need to do is we need to renourish the parts of us that were lonely and scared and left alone. So you go back on this line, so to say, and you work with your nervous system when it was 2 months old, when it was in a womb, when it was 5-year-old being terrified. So you kind of go back and you nurture and renourish that part so that it can be integrated into your system. Because what this kind of trauma does is you're lacking some developmental steps. I hope that that makes sense. If I'm 2 years old or 5 year old and I didn't have an adult to lead me through certain emotions, situations, I was alone, I was overwhelmed, nobody taught me how to deal with it, and most people don't know because they haven't learned that themselves. It means I'm 40 years old and I still don't know what that looks like because time doesn't heal that wound. I need to go back, renourish, and have a different experience with my avatar mommy, which is me in the cases of my rooms, right? So I'm getting a new mommy who's attuning to that moment, to that age, and it's never that linear. But again, I need to use a model to make it a little bit clearer, I hope. And we go there together, and you're getting a new experience. And this is where the system learns, oh, there is a new way dealing with it. Oh, I could choose a different path. If you ever saw anyone, or maybe it's you, who gets triggered and behaves like a kid, right? Sometimes we say, oh, he or she acts like he's two when people get triggered. Why? Because people are being really like pulled back into exactly that time. And they have no idea how to deal with it under stress and activation because nobody ever taught them. And this is why the behavior repeats. So, in a sense, we finally get to be adults after we have repaired and renourished those moments of life where our development was interrupted, really. All right. And I do truly, truly, truly believe that this is the kind of work, no matter how great your life is and how good you're feeling, that everybody will benefit and profit from. And especially if you're dealing with, like higher stakes meetings, if you have a team to run, if you work with people, right? Because as I just told you, all of it is relationship. So if you're still undercharging, if you're still uncertain and show up to like every team meeting because you want to show you're a great boss and you really care and you're scared people will think you don't care, right? If you are ruminating about a yes or a no, if you're like doubting yourself, all of the things people tell you to tap yourself out of or whatever, you are really managing the symptom, but you're not going back to renourish and repair that developmental step, and this is why you're looping. And that costs you your time, energy, your sleep, and just the quality of your life. So if this resonates, I am really, really happy to have a conversation with you, to get to know you, and to see what it is that we can create together. If you feel like this is the work you've been waiting for, just shoot me a DM. On Instagram, you can find me on Substack, or I'll also put my email address in the show notes box. So, yeah, that would be great to see what kind of magic we can do. And I'm really looking forward to meeting you, wishing you a beautiful weekend, and I'm going to hear you next week by Radically Regulated.